This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to students, listen to parents.
Oh, we're seniors. This is our year to slack off.
Listen to teachers, listen to principals.
Okay.
Bueller.
Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Empower us. Don't keep creating a nation of professional test takers.
The best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
All this week, we are talking about what it means to get a world-class education. And as always, we're asking you to contribute to the conversation. Raise your hands. We will call on you to talk about what America needs when it comes to reforming our schools. But today, we want to focus on the racial achievement gap. Consider this for a moment. The dropout rate among white students is 6%, and that is a tragedy. That number represents thousands of students who are not graduating from high school. But for African Americans, that goes up to 10%. That's 1 in 10 students that don't get a diploma. And for Latinos, it's nearly 25%. 1 in 4 kids. That's one slice of the picture of the chasm that separates the races in our schools. There's also gaps in reading and math as well on national assessments. That hasn't changed since the mid-1990s, but this goes back further than this. Joining us today is Jeffrey Canada. These numbers have to dishearten you to some extent. Jeffrey's the president and CEO of the Harlem Children's Zone, a 97-block zone or neighborhood where he offers educational and social services to more than 8,000 children. And joining us again, our good friend Valerie Purdy-Vons. She's assistant professor of psychology at Columbia.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
Yes. Valerie, great to be here. I wish you were here talking about something else, but let's just talk about how far this goes back, because busing of the 1970s and 80s, the whole purpose of busing students across districts was to try and address this gap between minorities.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that there was this original hope that all that needed to happen was contact between minority Black and Latino students and white students, bringing them together would close that gap. And we now know from years of research and just from what's going on in our schools that even though scores are rising for all students, this gap still continues to persist today in 2010.
Okay, well, so clearly we haven't figured out how to solve this problem, but Jeffrey Canada, you think you found a way to solve it. Your Harlem Children's Zone has gotten a ton of attention, including attention from the president. Last year, Harvard published a study. They compared students who had been accepted into your charter school with the results from students who had not gotten in, and the end result was your students had actually closed this gap, right?
Well, yes, that's true, and we were, of course, very excited to see that there was some real science, which I think demonstrated what a bunch of us educators believe in the country, which is the persistence of this gap is really an indication of the lack of effective interventions and not an indication of some inherent challenges with the young people who are really poor and minority in this country. And so if the gap persists, it's our fault, those of us who are educators and youth development specialists. And it means that we have to come up with more robust interventions and strategies to close this gap.
But you know, your program, your zones, as you call them, is really kind of taking a child and putting them into your own little incubator. I mean, you fulfill just about every need you could possibly fulfill for this kid. You provide health and social services for them. You guarantee they get to college. You follow them home. You go door to door. It's almost as though you're trying to create a sort of middle-class lifestyle for kids who are living in perhaps low-income or insecure neighborhoods.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when we begin to think about this, we begin to look for models of what works. And there are models that work in this country. And it's not that our whole education system is falling apart and terrible. There are places where kids are really learning and learning at high levels. And we began to find them mostly in middle and upper middle class communities. And we said, what is it that is going on in those communities that's so vastly different? Well, they're safe. They're orderly. There's a focus on young people that is really all of their work and waking hours. The quality of instruction is very high, and these kids learn at school. They learn after school. They learn during the summer times. There are lots of different kinds of strategies which aren't available to children who are poor or who come from families which don't have the education or economic resources. And so our theory was, let's recreate as much of that as humanly possible to see if that was part of the missing environment. And we think it certainly, and for some kids, it is the missing environment.
Valerie, President Obama himself referred to Jeffrey Canada's work last fall. He talked about kind of replicating these results around the country. Here's what he had to say.
If the Harlem's Children's Zone can turn around neighborhoods in New York, then why not Detroit or San Antonio or Los Angeles?
Can we replicate this kind of cradle-to-college care for kids all over the country?
I think that Jeffrey Canada, I'm a big fan of your work. We do our own psychological interventions, which I'll maybe get to in a minute. But I don't see why not. I think that what Jeffrey Canada's fantastic program is offering is the same opportunity that is owed to every student in this country, regardless of their race and regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of where they come from. So this is not mystical in the sense that exactly what Jeffrey Canada said, they are offering what is already available and out there and ought to be available to all students.
But Jeffrey, you yourself have said that you won't really know how well your program works for 10 to 20 years. So should we start replicating it around the country when we don't have the statistical data to know if this is going to be successful in the long run?
Well, because we judge our success by children graduating college, meaning that we feel like they have a good chance of entering the labor market and being successful and avoiding jails and teenage pregnancy and poverty, it is a long-term effort. And if you declare victory too soon, if we looked at our eighth grade reading scores or math scores and said, oh, we're great, let's stop here, we could not guarantee that those kids would indeed graduate high school, enter college, finish college. So many of our kids drop out of college. And so we have set the bar where we think it ought to be, making sure these kids are able to compete for jobs in an increasingly sophisticated labor market here in the United States, which is under pressure internationally and losing manufacturing and other low-skilled jobs. So we think that the preliminary indicators, so if you look and say, well, are these kids on the right trajectory? We think reading scores, math scores, attendance, behavioral scales that we use all say yes. These kids are heading in the right direction. They're achieving at high levels, and there is every expectation that they will be in college and graduate from college. And by the way, we work with not just the kids in our own schools. We work with kids in the public schools, and we have 500 kids in college right now that we're working to get through college. So we see the strategy unfolding very quickly, but the kids we started with from birth, you know, it's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Those kids are only in the fifth grade right now.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out 20 years from now, right? Jeffrey Canada is the CEO and president of Harlem Children's Zone, also Valerie Purdy Vaughn's assistant professor of psychology at Columbia University. Thanks so much to both of you.